Everyone forgets at one time or another. Here and there, we experience lapses of memory, so-called senior moments. Here are some stories of such moments people shared on social media. Once I made chicken soup, simmered the carcass for hours with lots of vegetables. Then when it was all nice and tasty, I grabbed a colander and poured all the liquid down the sink. I just stood there for about 5 minutes, staring at the bones, trying to remember what the next step in soup making was. The pipe underneath the sink was leaking, so I had placed a bucket to catch all the water. When the bucket was getting full, I emptied it out on the same sink. I was drinking out of a really colorful mug full of water, started talking to a coworker about the designs on our mugs. I turned my mug upside down to check and see what design was on the bottom. So I had to work the rest of my shift in soggy and squeaky shoes. In the freshman year of college, I came home for fall break. Next morning, I woke up in my bed at 6 a.m., got showered, dressed, grabbed my backpack hanging where I hung it before, went out to stand at the bus stop in front of my house. Seeing the yellow light glare and strobe in the distance, suddenly I realized, wait, I am in college now. I ran as fast as I could back into the house before anybody on the bus saw me. I am relieved to find out that I am not the only one who gets forgetful. I too have many stories of such forgetful, such moments, forgetting things. Sometimes big incidents, sometimes small, including searching for my phone while talking to someone using that same phone. Indeed, senior moments are not just for seniors. Nowadays, those mental glitches seem to happen to people of all ages, even to the young people. Forgetting can be frustrating. You cannot remember where you placed certain things, typically your phone, key, wallet, sunglasses. So you waste your time looking for them, and this happens usually when you are in a hurry. And you cannot remember if you locked the door, closed the garage, or turned off the stove. So within a minute or two of leaving your home, you turn around and go back only to find out you actually did. Forgetting can be embarrassing, especially when you cannot remember the names or even faces of people. Not long ago, greeting people after the worship service by the entrance door, I asked the person whose name and face I could not really remember, I asked, "Have I met you before?" And she said, "Of course, you even called me on my birthday." Oops. How about when you cannot remember what the other person you are conversing with has just said to you? Then the person asks you, "So what do you think?" According to a report on memory research published by the University of Toronto 2 years ago, while our brains store memories, they also have mechanisms that promote memory loss. Dr. Blake Richards and Dr. Paul Frankland, co-authors of the report, write, "The point of memory is to make you an intelligent person who can make decisions given the circumstances, and an important aspect in helping you do that is being able to forget some information." To put it simply, we are forgetful people. Forgetting is unavoidable. It is even natural for us to forget. The degree to which we forget varies widely. Except for some people who seem to have a perfect memory, all of us forget what we learn and what we experience. Our memories fade as time goes by unless we make an intentional effort to keep them alive. Perhaps that is why in the Bible there are many passages that talk about remembering. Especially in the Old Testament, the concept of remembrance surfaces quite often. The Israelites are told over and over again to remember what God has done for them. So let us hear some of those instances. From the book of Exodus, "Remember this day on which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." From the book of Deuteronomy, "Just remember what the Lord your God did to the Pharaoh and to all Egypt. Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Remember the days of old. Consider the years long past." From the book of Psalms, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. Bless the Lord, O my God, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Remember the wonderful works God has done." From the book of Ecclesiastes, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." And from the book of Isaiah, "Remember this and consider. Recall it to mind. Remember the former things of old." In addition to these commands to remember, we find biblical references to monuments, memorials, and institutions that serve as a reminder of God and God's wondrous deeds. They reinforce memories of those sacred moments experienced by God's people. Through religious rituals and celebrations, stories of God's mighty acts of salvation were rehearsed and represented so that they would always, those things would always be remembered. In today's scripture, Joshua chapter 4, verses 1-9, we see an example of memorializing God's wondrous and mighty acts. The biblical narrative up to this point is the story of the Israelites crossing the Jordan River and entering the land of Canaan. As they were about to enter the promised land, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, a river was blocking their way. Then a miracle happened. When the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant began to put their feet in the river, the water ceased flowing, and the people could cross over on dry land. It was a repeat of what had happened to their parents' generation when they were leaving Egypt and faced the Red Sea in front of them. When they all had finished crossing the river, Joshua, the new leader of the Israelites who had been Moses' assistant, ordered to have a simple monument built with 12 stones taken out of the dry land, the dry river they had just crossed. A representative from each of the 12 tribes was asked to deposit one stone each in order to commemorate this wondrous event which led them into the promised land. From generation to generation, whenever the children from the respective tribes would ask out of curiosity, "What do these stones mean to you?" their parents and grandparents and great parents would tell them all about how their ancestors crossed the River Jordan, how a member of their family had laid down one of those stones. So the sacred story of God's mighty act of salvation would not be forgotten, but live on, remembered forever. Here are some questions that arise out of this story for us today. What are the memorial stones we have established as the church to remind ourselves of what God has done for us, and also to stroke the curiosity of our children, our younger generation? Could it be that everything we have in the church, both visible and invisible, serve as our memorial stones? All of the buildings on our church campus and beautiful garden, including this beautiful sanctuary we are here now, and everything we see as we look around, the stained glass the cross in front of us, the pipe organ, the grand piano, the bells, though we do not see them, we see them here and there in our worship service and the concert, and the pulpit, the lectern, the altar, the candles, and beautiful flower arrangement, and the banners, and the pews, and the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion we celebrate, and the prayers we say, the songs we sing, the scriptures we read and hear, and the stories we tell and listen to. The list can go on and on. And we thank God for all of these memorial stones that help us know and remember who we are as the church. What about you? Are there any personal memorial stones you have built to remember who you are and to stroke the curiosity of others about your faith? What reminds you and others around you of who you are, what you believe, what you stand for, what faith community you belong to? For Katy Perry, a famous American singer and songwriter, one of the memorial stones she has is a tattoo on her wrist that reads, "Jesus." Perry got it when she was 18, just before she transitioned from a Christian singer to a mainstream artist. She says about her Jesus tattoo, "I see it every time I'm playing guitar. It's looking back up at me. That's where I come from, and probably where I am going back to. Another story of such memorial stone. For Ford and Marge Cowell, one of those memorial stones is delivered to their home every week. When I visited them at their home last week, Marge said to me these words, "Pastor, thank you so much for sending us the church newsletters and your sermons. I love receiving them every week. From the newsletter, I find out what is happening in our church, and I really enjoy reading your sermons. Your sermons are really good. I always learn a lot from them. I read them first and give them to Ford to read. Sometimes he doesn't read them, but I always read," she said. "It's been a while since we went to church, but we always feel closely connected to our church family because of the newsletters and sermons. We really appreciate that you mail them to us every week." What newsletter, you might be wondering? Because we no longer publish newsletters. There is a midweek message on our church family and friends receive every week, but that's the e-news. No one receives a printed copy of midweek message. What Ford and Marge receive in the mail, I realize, is an envelope from the church, and enclosed in the envelope are a copy of worship bulletin, a printed copy of the sermon, and a cover letter. The blue addendum in the worship bulletin, that is what Marge calls the newsletter. The weekly mailing to the homebound of our church is a vital ministry of our church. Thanks to Ellen Droke's labor of love, people who cannot attend worship receive the worship bulletin and sermon every week. She comes to the office, Ellen comes to the office every Wednesday to make copies of the sermon and write a cover letter. Then she mails them out to the homebound members of our church along with the worship bulletin. It is through this weekly mail Ellen faithfully sends out that Ford and Marge and other people at home remember who they are and what community of faith they belong to. It is their spiritual memorial stone. For our youth, who will be confirmed in 2 weeks, one such memorial stone will be a special gift from their teacher, Lynn Della Porta. In the midst of her busy schedule, she has managed to cross-stitch a beautiful cross for each of the confirmants. Along with the other gifts they will receive, the handmade cross will remind them of their identity as disciples of Jesus Christ and help them remember what they have learned throughout the confirmation journey. This Monday, we observe Memorial Day. A memorial stone for our country, which reminds us of the ultimate sacrifice that the men and women of our military have made for us. We honor their legacy and pass on their stories to the younger generation, reminding ourselves in the process that the freedom we enjoy now were purchased with the blood of those who served our country. As we celebrate Memorial Day and remember their sacrifices, let us also take time to remember the wondrous and mighty deeds of God in our lives. May we dwell on our common memory stone of the cross, which reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which has delivered us from death and the wilderness of our lives and into the promise of new life. Thanks be to God. Amen.